Faith FM with Scappy and Lindsay. This is the best place to start your day with positive and uplifting thoughts. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88 depending on where you are. Or you can listen to us through our Faith FM app anywhere in the world. Today, if you're listening live, the date is the Tuesday 25th of August. I'm in the studio with my friend Ben here today. How are you going, Ben?
I'm good. Very good.
Great. Good to see you. And we also have Shell in the studio.
Yeah. Feeling a bit croaky now.
Oh, did I give it to you?
I don't think so.
Oh. Oh, man. Well, let's start off with our gratitudes for today. I'll start, if you don't mind. And I am grateful that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, I came in here a little bit grumpy and groany and underslept this morning, but I have decided that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that is what I'm going to continue to say all day long to help me to get through today. Oh, what about you guys? What is something that you're grateful for?
I am grateful that I got to, like, swap roles with my old friend Lawson yesterday, where he was my boss, and I was working his food truck that they have for the Newcastle Uni yesterday, was helping feed lots of hungry university students that don't have that much money, and it was a real blessing to be part of that. For the evening, yeah.
So who's a better boss, you or him?
Oh, definitely me.
Of course. Oh, that's so great. Oh, I'm so glad you got to see him again and hang out.
Yeah, I was mainly working with Shanna, his wife, but he was running around doing all the stuff outside and chatting with the people and, yeah.
Oh, so good. Really good. Awesome. What about you, Ben? What's something you're grateful for today?
Well, I'm grateful for family. I went to my nephew's wedding on Sunday and Scott and Jade were married and it was just nice to have the whole family together and hang out. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. So good.
So family's great.
What did you guys get up to? Were you doing anything interesting, eating a meal, playing a board game, just hanging out and chatting?
Yeah, it was actually a two-day wedding and so they did the wedding one day and then a dinner and then the next day they had a whole other group of friends come along and had the banquet and there was a fireplace there and outdoors and we had a motel right next to the beach, so walked the beach in
the morning. Where was this?
Nowra.
Nowra, okay.
On the coast at Nowra.
South New South Wales?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
On the Shoalhaven River.
There you go. I don't know that part of the country too well, but I'm glad you had a really great time. That sounds wonderful. Well, I want to hear from you, listener. What are you grateful for this morning? We're grateful here for spending time with people that we love, as well as that the joy of the Lord is our strength and that he gets us through each day. What are you grateful for today? I want to share with you what we're going to be getting into in today's show. We're going to be talking about Esther and her feminine charms. We're going to be looking at Esther chapter 5 today. We're going to be looking at the age pension increase. What a good news story that is. We're going to be talking about a specialist New South Wales police task force busting a global pedophile ring. We're also going to interview Sam Bonello about finance. And in our encounter with God, we'll be talking about 1 Corinthians 15, about believing in the resurrection. So we'll be covering those topics and more. So stick around.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And you know what? It is, of course, the very best part of today's show, which is quiz time for number one. Quiz number one.
Quiz number one. Let's hope you are awake and ready.
Let me just see if I have a pen that works smoothly. I'm ready. Not scribbling.
Good, good, good. Our number is 0491-064-669. Play along with us. Yeah, let's see how fast we can get this one answered. And yeah, let's see how we do.
Ben, you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, he said he was ready.
To be quick, quick?
Yep.
All right.
When Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened, what did the servant see surrounding the mountain? When Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened, what did the servant see surrounding the mountain.
What?
We have incorrect answers.
What did you write?
So you both wrote the same thing.
But that's what they saw.
Nuh-uh.
Pretty sure.
Well, you're pretty surely wrong.
Did you see the second word I wrote?
You can find the answer in 2 Kings 6, 17. Your last word is partly right, but it's not. Okay, we're starting to get there. I'm going to give it to Ben.
What did you write?
Ben can have it.
What did you write? Let
me see. I'm not showing you. You'll have to keep guessing.
No.
0491-064-669 is our text line. When Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened, what did the servant see surrounding the mountain? Okay, that's the question.
I think you're being too technical.
I'm not, actually, because I want to know what the Bible says, not what we're just guessing.
Sure. All righty. Well, let's move on. We are getting into our More Like Him segment today. We're looking at the Book of Esther at the moment. I love the Book of Esther. You know, when I was chatting to Scaffy before we started this, he's like, all right, we've finished Ezra and finished Nehemiah. It's time to move on to Esther. I don't really want to do Esther, he said. I was like, why don't you want to do Esther? He's like, oh, it's just not my favorite. And I was like,
I'm with him. I'm with him on that one for sure.
You guys, you're missing out. There's so much good stuff in the Book of Esther.
I love Esther.
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying the study, but it's certainly nowhere near my top story.
Well, okay, I mean, fair enough.
There are aspects that we've been pulling out that I'm like, yeah, okay, that's quite good, but still, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't care if you and Scaffy don't love it as much. I love it. And it's really, really good.
Let that passion just seep through to us.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. Let's do it. All right. So we're going to start in chapter 5, but I think it's important. We just back up a little bit towards the end of chapter 4. We kind of touched on this a bit yesterday. I think we kind of rushed the last little bit. So we're going to read from, let's say, verse 13. Would you like to read that with some passion and gusto for us, please?
I'll do my best. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews for another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. So I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all Esther commanded him.
Okay. Thank you for reading that. Now, as we were reading yesterday, Mordecai is commanding his niece Esther, or his cousin Esther, but he's been raising her basically. He commanded her to go in before the king. This was not something that he said was optional. It was something she had to do and she needed to listen to his authority here. It's really interesting that when they have this exchange back and forth and she doesn't want to do it. She wants to hide. She's been doing such a good job of hiding her identity up until this point. And as I was reading through this last night, I was reading commentary and I was just like allowing, you know, the Holy Spirit to pull me through this story. The things that jumped out to me were the way that Mordecai as a man approaches dealing with the situation and the way that Esther as a woman approaches dealing with the situation. Now, God has called Esther and Mordecai is saying, maybe God has called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. Like, consider it from that angle. Maybe you are right here at this time because God has called you into this position. And I agree with that. And I think a lot of the time God does take us into certain positions where we can use our influence that only we could be able to do something because of our specific background or our specific circumstances, the way that God wants to use us individually, right? All of us have a special purpose that God has on our life. And for Esther, her special purpose was to be a slaver agent and go into the palace and be the favorite wife, the favorite queen of this Persian king, until the moment came when Satan was going to try to annihilate the Jews using using Haman to cause genocide to take place.
Yeah.
So what happens? We've got Mordecai commanding Esther to address the king, to go in before the king and reveal herself. That's a very, I guess, masculine way to approach, just like head on, right?
Yeah.
However, she's like, okay, I see you've got a point. She didn't want to do it, but she's responding with this. Let's see how she responded. She told her servant Hathach to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. So call out to God for help so that God can help me, right? Fasting is linked with prayer and with mourning. Yeah. She says, fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. Now, that is the most extreme fast that we see anywhere in the Bible, except for Jesus fasting for 40 days in the desert.
Yeah.
That's probably more extreme in the length and the duration of the fast. But no other fasts that people choose to do are completely without water as well. Although on the Day of Atonement, they wouldn't drink water for 1 day as well as they wouldn't eat. So this is an extreme fast. And she's saying for all of the Jews who are present in that city to fast for her 3 days, no food or drink. And she said, so I will go into the king, which is what Mordecai instructed her to do, even though it's against the law. And she's done it once before, but it was to save his life and pass on the message from Mordecai that there was a plot against the king's life. So she's done this once before for the king, but now she's going to do it for her own request. And she says, if I perish, I perish, which is where we see her courage. She's like, look, if I die, I die. I'm going to do it, though. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. So they're commanding each other, right?
Yeah.
So even though she's going to do what Mordecai has said, she's not going to do it in necessarily the same way that he has implied that she should, right?
Yeah.
She's not going to just barrel in there and say, hey, king, I've got something to tell you. I'm a Jew. You need to stop this or else I'm going to die and all my people are going to die. Like, that's not a very feminine approach to it, is it?
Mm.
So what is the feminine approach that she will use? And this is so important, I think, even today in any marriage, that men and women understand the appropriate way to approach each other. So a wife who goes and barrels in and says to the husband, hey, I've got an issue with what you're doing. Is that going to get him to, you know, softly appreciate what she's trying to say? Or is he going to arc up and say, oh, I don't want to hear what she has to say? What do you think from a man's perspective?
Well, the man usually approaches the wife like that.
Yeah.
But if the wife approaches a man like that, usually it's disrespectful, insulting, take it personally.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't talk to them for 3 days.
Yeah. And I think we look at this story in Esther as king and queen, as political people, but they were also husband and wife.
Yeah.
And I think we often miss that part here.
And what's interesting here in the culture of the time, even the queen couldn't just bowl in to the husband.
No. And
especially sitting on the throne.
Yeah, and particularly in this time, we were talking yesterday about the scepter and what that meant to receive the scepter.
So I think there's something very significant about the 3 days as well.
Yeah.
Of prayer because, you know.
Well, it's complete reliance on God. She and her maids were going to do it. The whole city of Jews were going to do it for her.
Yeah.
There was a great deal of weight on this moment and she really needed to be in full reliance on God. And then we see how that plays out. So let's continue to read. Can you read maybe 5 verses?
Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house.
Actually, let's pause there. What word is being repeated over and over in this verse?
Yeah. the court in a court and the king's throne.
So what is being repeated here is royal. There is royal robes.
Yeah.
There is a royal throne in the royal house, right?
Yeah.
So there is a significance. She's not just walking in her pajamas. She is dressed to the nines in this moment. After the three days, she's fasted. She's been relying on God. She's probably feeling a little bit weak, but also very courageous in the moment. But she also knows the importance of the way that she presents herself. Now, in the etiquette world, it's really important to dress well, not so that you're dressing up and being fancy and egotistical, but it's in order to show respect to the people around you. So like we spoke about a moment ago, in addressing each other, husband and wife, with respect, also the way that you physically put clothes on and dress yourself shows respect.
Yeah. Yeah, and imagine he's in full business mode here, sitting mm-hmm. on the throne.
Yeah.
All his officials around him. Yep. He's got people lined up for meeting after meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just sort of comes in, interrupts and says, "Oh, will you come for dinner with me?"
Yeah, no, that would not be well received. So she has to go in the appropriate outfit.
Yeah.
So it was when the king saw Queen Esther, and it's at this point that Esther starts being referred to as queen for the rest of the book. That's a really important thing to notice.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And we now have a quiz answer and our second quiz question. Please, producer Shell.
So our quiz answer to that one, and I'm going to give it to Ben because he was the only one who got one of the words that's actually used in the text.
Well, I could give you another word.
Okay, go for it.
Fire.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So when Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened, what did the servant see surrounding the mountain? It was horses and chariots of fire all over the mountain.
Yes.
Okay.
That's all the text says. It doesn't say army. It doesn't say angel anywhere in the text.
Fine.
And I looked up if the story is mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, and it's not.
Okay.
So
chariots usually indicate an army. Chariots were very rarely used for anything but an army.
I asked what he saw.
Okay.
I thought it was angels. I even thought it was angels of fire. Then when you said no, I thought, oh, no, it's got to be chariots.
That's right. That's right. It was horses and chariots.
Okay. All righty. Anywho, we have another quiz question.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Let's see how we do on this one. Okay. Which minor prophet? All right, got your heads in the right space. Which minor prophet was told to write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it?
Probably not this one, but I'll try it anyway.
Not that one, no. Which minor prophet was told to write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it? Let us know. I can't tell you the reference for that one, of course.
I should know this one.
Not correct still.
I'm just going to keep 0491-064-669.
There's also, you know, it's a small list of minor prophets, so I'm pretty sure Lindsay's about to go through all of them. 0491-064-669. Ben is writing. He's taking an attempt here. Not correct.
Sorry, guys.
That's it. Three strikes, you're out, Lindsay.
Fine.
No more.
All right.
Which minor prophet was told to write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it?
Okay. All right. Well, if you have an answer for that, you can text us through to 0491-064-669. Even if you don't have an answer for that, but you just want to chat and hang out with us, you can do that too. We love hearing from you. In fact, we've heard from Janelle this morning. She says, Lindsay, I appreciate your enthusiasm for the book of Esther. I really enjoy it too. It's my husband's favorite book as there are so many parallels to the great controversy and the story of redemption. There you go. I'm not alone. I have two friends here.
Definitely not alone.
Janelle,
if I thought nobody would want to hear about it, we wouldn't be doing it. But everybody, I mean, it's a great book. It's in the Bible.
Favorite.
It matters.
I mean, I don't know if I have favorites necessarily, but this is a very underlined part of my book, my Bible.
Yeah. Nice.
It's so interesting because God and Jesus are not mentioned in this book.
Not at all.
And yet...
Technically not prayer either.
You can just see the whole thing through here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Esther going before the king is, you know, Jesus going before our Heavenly Father, interceding for us like this.
Yeah. And I wonder what that means for our lives. Like, we highly recommend praying, reading your Bible, like being active in going to church, being active in your Christian faith. But we also have an example here of somebody who was really covert, and it was also something that God was using. So yeah. Sometimes
it
doesn't
have
to... In
all honesty, I'm just not convinced that she was, you know, a like active...
Proper Jew.
Yeah, active religious person.
Yeah.
You know, but still, because God needed to save a nation,
God used her.
He used her anyway, you know, and he does that quite often. Just will use people, secular people or whoever, to accomplish what he needs to be accomplished.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, let's jump back into the text and what it has to say. So we were just reading about the outfit that she was wearing, and then she was in the court. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. Now, a couple of days ago, we were talking about favor. In the story of Esther, favor comes up a lot. She has favor with the guy in charge, like the eunuch in charge of all of the harem. And then the guy in charge of the eunuch in charge of the next part of the harem after the virgins went in to see the king for the first time. They would move into a different part of the harem. She had favor constantly with different people. She submitted to other people's wisdom and she continued to get favor. In this moment, she has favor with the king once again. She's turned up, she's fasted, she's dressed to the nines, she's respectful in this environment, and she receives favor with the king. Even though he hasn't called for her in the past 30 days, she still receives his favor and her life is spared and she's able to make her request.
Yeah.
And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you, up to half of the kingdom." Wow, what a bold offer.
He must have been feeling good that day.
Well, look, actually, it wasn't that fancy. So this was something that the Persian kings would typically say to somebody like that, that they wanted to honor. And it was really important that the person who received that up to half the kingdom sort of statement, that they weren't acting greedy and they were, you know, only asking for what they really needed, or they weren't trying to work their way up the ranks. It was something that was often said in that culture, but it was not something that you were meant to actually act on and say, yeah, I'll half the kingdom, thank you. Yeah. It was a show of generosity, but it was not the done thing to take it on.
Yeah.
So Esther answered, "If it pleases the king..." You don't have to, but if you want to, "let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him." Oh, what's the fastest way to a man's heart?
Food.
Food?
Yeah.
Oh, and we know that this king and his good mate Haman, they love having lots of food. They like drinking wine together. They really enjoy a good hedonistic party. So she knows the way to her man's heart, and it's a big banquet. And she's dressed nicely and attractively. And she's like, "There's food waiting. If you and your best mate would like to come along, I would love to have you over." So then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly that he may do as Esther had said." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Wow. Bring him quickly. Let's go do this. Don't dawdle. I want to go and have a party already, like in the middle of the day. So at the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom. It shall be done." So once again, he's making this bold claim. It's more in private now, but is she going to take it? What does she do next?
Yeah. Ask him for another banquet.
Yeah. Well, she knows that he's all happy and he's had a good time. But you know what? It's probably a bit too presumptuous to act on this one dinner right now. Like, she's buttered him up. She's given him, you know, a nice time with his good friend. But it's probably worth pacing this.
Yeah.
And so she invites him to another party. Well, remember, this is the same king who partied for 6 months straight
earlier
in the story.
I also find amazing here that the king realizes that she has a significant request.
Yeah.
And he's not just going, oh, she just wants to dine with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's not, he's thinking, what's she up to? And
yeah.
why is she inviting Haman to come along?
Mm.
And so it seems like he's not only keen to get Haman, but maybe he's keen to find out what she really wants.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, quickly call Haman, let's get this party underway so I can find what Esther wants. Because she's risked her life to come into my court.
Yeah.
Now what's she up to?
Yeah. Well, let's keep reading, shall we? What is she up to? She says, if I have found, so then Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. If I have found, what's that word again?
Found favor.
If I have found favor in the sight of the king and it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet, which I will prepare for them. And tomorrow I will do as the king has said. So she says, all right, come along. If you want to, if I have found favor, she is not pushing herself. She is not barraging in. She's not saying, you are about to kill my relatives and my people. I am a Jew. She's not said any of that yet. She is just softly, gently, and with food petitioning this man.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
This is a really good lesson for wives who have difficult husbands particularly.
Yeah. But as I said earlier, I think, like, this is a husband and wife case.
Yeah.
And maybe even a king and queen.
Yeah.
But I keep seeing here our communication with God.
Yeah, true. How so?
You know, we are subject to God, as okay. Esther was to the king. And, you know, we have needs, tremendous needs, and we have an enemy that's against us that's trying to take our life, as Esther and Mordecai did, and the Jews. And so for us to, you know, be close to God, spend time with God, and to bring our petition to God and not just go, you know, bowl up and say, hey, God, you know, this is what I want. But it's through relationship that the outcome is what really counts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the king probably thinks, this is really nice that my wife wants to dine with me, even though she has something to ask.
Yeah. No, definitely. I totally get that. Let's keep reading. Would you like to read maybe another couple of verses, please?
From
verse 9.
So Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he set and called for his friends and his wife Zeresh.
Okay, just pause here. We've seen a big emotional swing in Haman, like just in moments. He's leaving this first banquet. He's joyful and with a glad heart. But as he just turns the corner and there's Mordecai and he's just chilling and he's not bowing down and prostrating himself and trembling and anything, then he is filled with indignation. So he's like happy and joyful. And then I hate that guy. Like, he is such an emotionally volatile man.
Yeah.
And we also see that both Haman and the king are very similar in personality. They're both volatile and easy to get their emotion swinging. We saw this at the beginning of the book of Esther, where when Queen Vashti doesn't come before the king's offended, all the other counselors are offended, and they make this great command that all of the women throughout the empire had to give honor and respect to their husbands. Just because one woman didn't show up in front of the king, then all of the women in the kingdom are now under a new extra law. And also with Haman, as soon as one Jewish guy didn't bow down to him, then all of the Jews were going to be annihilated.
Yeah.
They're both the same type of personality here. What we don't see in this story is Esther's personal motivations. She is described as very mysterious, and you don't really see what's going on inside of her heart. We can only guess, but we are actively given the inner thoughts and motives of Haman here. He is joyful, he is angry, he is just incensed and enraged. But the way that Queen Esther is depicted is very much in control. Her uncle Mordecai has tried to command her, but she commands him back. And then instead of doing exactly what he said, she takes it on and makes it her own. She says, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to go about what you've instructed me to do. I'm going to do it in my own armor, so to say. She takes it on and she does it with her feminine way as she submits to God and allows him to lead her. She doesn't barrage in. She goes in softly and gently and femininely. So quickly, let's read through these last couple of verses in this chapter. It says, nevertheless, Haman restrained himself, went home, called for his friends and his wife Zeresh. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything which the king had promoted him, and how he advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. Sounds like a narcissist to me, but anyway, let's keep moving. Moreover, Haman said, besides, Queen Esther invited me, no one but me, to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared, and tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king. Yet all this avails me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made, 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made. What a guy.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the proverb says that a man who hangs out with fools is also going to be a fool. He's got a bunch of friends and his wife are all telling him to do evil and foolish things, and that will become his downfall as he goes along.
Yeah.
What things jump at you from this story so far?
Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned it in earlier chapters, but 500 years prior to this, the ancestors of Haman and the ancestors of Mordecai.
Yep, they were mortal enemies.
With King Saul.
Yep.
When King Saul destroyed the Agites. And so Haman is from that tribe.
Yeah, we did discuss that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's this bitter hatred and grudge here. And so that's really festering. But certainly Haman is seeing himself on the level of the king and the queen.
Yeah, he certainly wants to exalt himself, which sounds very similar to what Satan wants to do.
Yeah, so he thinks that respect should come from the lower class to him as much as royalty.
Yeah.
Even, it seems, wanting to be in the place of the king.
Yeah. Well, he wants to rub shoulders with the king and the queen, and look how amazing I am. The queen even invited me to a party with her and the king, just the three of us, like nobody else. I'm so special.
Yeah. From my previous study, I wrote in my margin here, it's like Satan wanted to be like the Most High.
Yeah.
To receive worship and, you know.
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We have got now a quiz answer for our previous quiz question. What was that, producer?
The book that we were after was Habakkuk. Okay. He was our minor prophet that was told to write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it.
Awesome. And Valmai got that correct. I think she's the only one who did.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You beat us all today.
Our early birds are not being so early today.
Yeah, I thought it was Haggai, so it wasn't far away.
I tried that one as well.
The first letter of the name. Right.
Zephaniah and Haggai and Zechariah, and then I was told I wasn't allowed to try anymore. So, well, we have got a really great show coming up for the next couple of hours. Make sure you stick around. What is coming up is we're going to be talking about the age pension increase. What a good story that is. We're going to be talking about a specialist New South Wales police task force busting a global pedophilia ring, saving over 160 kids. We've got Sam Bonello talking about finance in our interview, and we're talking about 1 Corinthians 15, about believing in the resurrection. All this and more, so make sure you stick around.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.